You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 5th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along with us for another afternoon here at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison. Overcast skies. Maybe on the other side of the smoke, they're sunny and blue, but the wildfires, both to note, in Western United States and Canada, not just one country, two. Wildfire smoke continues to push into the Badger State, apparently breaking up in some parts a little bit more than others. My voice is a little off, though, still, Zommers.
But your hairs are nice and trimmed.
I went and saw Lizzie last night, and she asked me, she said, "Have you been wearing your hat lately?" And I said, "Yeah, but I was at a Brewers game, and then I was kayaking over the weekend." So yeah, she says, you might want to wash the hat because there's a little bit of a breakout on the hat. And so this is, and my mom will appreciate this because she gets very disappointed in me because I wear a baseball cap for too long and it gets, you know, sweaty and has sweat stains. She goes, "That looks terrible." But I said, it's comfortable to wear once you break it in. Now, right. I'm not as bad as Brett Favre, the old Packer quarterback. He used to wear his until they were literally falling apart. And so the problem is that I have one, you know, you've seen it 100 times, is my Brewer hat that I got down there at Miller Park a few years ago. I love it because it's the trucker hat that's kind of mesh in the back, and then the front just has the glove Brewers logo in front embroidered. And it's blue behind that. And I've been trying to find a replacement for that combo and I haven't found it. And I don't know what hit me this morning. I guess after Lizzie told me I needed to do something about my hat. Of course, I went online, Amazon.
Yep, that'll do it.
Although, so it'll be here Thursday, a brand new baseball Brewers cap.
There is something to be said for keeping your old sports hats, though. My roommate, Elliot, big Cubs fan, he has a brand new Cubs hat. And one that is so washed out and old and worn up. He was wearing that one to a game, and some player came up and was like, "Oh, you're a real fan," and tossed him a ball.
Really?
Because his hat was so worn in.
Right. See, and also you don't want to do your part to jinx anything. And the Brewers are hot right now. They got another big win last night. We'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show. I mean, hottest team in baseball, best record in baseball. 3 full games now the Brewers are ahead of the Chicago Cubs. So that's in the National League Central. So that is fantastic. The Brewers again get underway again tonight on many of these stations along the Milwaukee Brewers radio network of Civic Media. You can hear the game over the air on terrestrial radio. Not allowed to stream it on the Civic Media app, but you can catch the Brewers a little bit later on this afternoon. We'll give you the full details of that game and where to catch it and when, all that a little bit later in the show. And we're going to play that cut. Zommers helped me to remember of yes. Logan Henderson, who was called up over the weekend on Sunday, and then they say you got to get to DC to pitch because the Mizorowski got a little contusion, i.e. a bruise on one of his shins from getting hit with a ball on last Monday, and so he tried to find a flight. No flights available from wherever he was. He was in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so his parents were there watching him, and they ended up driving him to his start in D.C. It's really cool. So we'll talk a little bit about the surging Milwaukee, the hot, not just surging, red-hot Milwaukee Brewers a little bit later on in this hour. Also coming up at the bottom of this hour, Kyle LaFond, founder and president of and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Province. He is a member of the Main Street Alliance. He's going to be talking to us about what it's like, these Trump tariffs, once again going into effect here in a few days. what it's like for a Wisconsin business owner. We hear a lot of this in national news being spun by both sides. Well, we're going to talk about our real business owners and find out what it's like. So looking forward to that. And also, I believe he's on the Wisconsin PBS board. I'll double check that, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Those cuts to the National Corporation of Public Broadcasting that we discussed last week as well. So looking forward to the discussion with him. And in hour two, our What's Worse for Today, grocery store edition. Tomatoes, store-bought tomatoes, or non-dairy milk. What's worse? In hour two, don't call on that yet. We'll take your calls on that in hour two. Now, tomorrow, we are going to be on the road once again, this time from the shores, the banks of the Mississippi, and also perhaps the Black River. Going to be in La Crosse tomorrow. Looking forward to that, covering the Leader Ethics Forum on fusion voting. And look, I know that a lot of this stuff is confusing. It's confusing sometimes for me, a person who tries to follow this every day. So we're going to break it down. Because Leader Ethics, a bipartisan group, is going to be hosting a forum in La Crosse. By the way, if you want to attend in person, you're welcome to do so. It is a one-hour program starting at 12:30 in the afternoon tomorrow. It'll be at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center in La Crosse. There is no fee for attendance, absolutely free, but you must register in advance. To register, go to leaderethics.us. Zomers has it on the screen for those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Leaderethics.us. And you can register there beforehand. Zomers also put the information in the show notes. So we're going to be there tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Lee Rosch is going to be on this program, the executive director of Leader Ethics, also a plaintiff in the legal suit to reestablish the legality of fusion voting based upon conditions of the Wisconsin State Constitution. He is a member of United Wisconsin, this great group that's bringing the discussion back on fusion voting. So Lee Rosch will be with us. He was also the president of Western Wisconsin Technical College for a number of years. Former Democratic Sheriff of Dane County, Dave Mahoney, will be on the program. One of my former bosses, former Republican Wisconsin State Senator and Majority Leader Dale Schultz, will be there, be on the show. And Christine Andrews, the Executive Director of United Wisconsin, as well as Rusty Cunningham, who is a former publisher and executive editor with La Crosse Tribune and River Valley News. He is going to be moderating the program tomorrow. If you can't make it to La Crosse and you still want to check it out, watch it, you can do so by watching a free stream. Again, the website is Leader Ethics. Leader Ethics, all one word. I mean, it's two words, but for the website, it's all one. Leaderethics.us. You can watch the live stream tomorrow from 12:30 to 1:30, and then join our program from 2 until 4. We'll be discussing with all the aforementioned people. We'll break down and tell you what fusion voting is and why it's important to Wisconsin and how it could actually help bring about some stability, how it could actually give voice to both Republicans and Democrats and find some sort of commonality here. So looking forward to the program tomorrow. And also on the program tomorrow, Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com with a little bit of lighter information as well. Who knows? Maybe we'll go fishing, Zomers, if we're along the banks of the Black River.
Maybe. Maybe you will. Fishing for snakes?
No. Be no fishing for snakes tomorrow. So looking forward to our fusion voting program tomorrow. Also coming up a little bit later here, not hearing a lot about this, are we? From Reuters, the Trump administration formally axes Elon Musk's five things email. What? It turns out they didn't think it was such a good idea. They're quietly just letting that go away.
Yeah, just like they're attempting to quietly let Elon himself go away, but
very quietly. Very quietly indeed. And we're going to get to what's happening in Texas as well. Some new audio there. The Democrats leaving the state. So far successful in stopping the Republican governor, Greg Abbott, from changing the maps for Congress to help Donald Trump pick up 5 seats in the next election. We'll talk a little bit about this. But I want to start here. It was on the wonderful program this morning, Matt Nair on Air with Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. They brought this up, and look, I think it's just interesting as a person who enjoys politics. Former governor, Republican governor Tommy George Thompson was on WTMJ in Milwaukee today, this morning, and Tommy was asked whether or not, hey, you know what, the governorship is going to be a wide open seat in 2026. And we talked about this before, Zombers. The late, great Senator, Democratic Senator Tim Cullen of Janesville, he taught me years ago. He said, Todd, anytime a politician is asked a question, anything other than no is a yes, and anything other than yes is a no. So if you say, Governor Thompson, do you plan on running for governor? He literally said, quote, I haven't said no.
Wow, that's pretty direct. Yeah.
Tommy says he hasn't said no to running for a fifth term as governor. Of course, he did not finish his fourth term because he was selected by George W. Bush to be the Health and Human Services Secretary of the United States.
That's, you know, usually what Tim Cullen meant is reading between the lines right. to see. But he just pretty directly said right. well, yeah, I might.
Right, pretty much. So we were talking about this on Matt and Aaron Air this morning with Jane and Greg. And because they had discussed it for a half an hour, took calls, it was great. And then I came on and we spent the better part of 45 minutes discussing Tommy Thompson across the Civic Media Radio Network. And I said towards the end of the discussion, I said, I'll tell you this. Tommy Thompson is elated. If he heard this broadcast and now ours, we're only adding to it. He's looking at people saying, you know what? All I had to do is say, I won't say no. And these people are giving me more airtime than the gal dang people who are actually announced.
Very true. Very true.
I think Tommy loves it. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, my first thought when I heard Jane and Greg talk about this was, I bet Todd has some thoughts on this. Well, look, to cut to the chase, I don't know anything. I'm not an insider anymore on the Republican side of the aisle, although I have some people that talk to me. My gut tells me that Governor Thompson, former Governor Thompson, will not run for another term. He's 83 years old.
Yeah, that'd be pretty rough.
I mean, look, he says, look, you know, I'm in great shape. I'm in great health, mentally and physically.
Well, yeah, and if you are, I imagine you'd want to spend that time just doing stuff you enjoy, spending time with your family.
Well, he's back on the farm. I mean, he and the First Lady, Sue Ann, I think, did a little addition up there to the farm in Elroy, and he's living back in Elroy. And so, but he's not really, here's what I think. I think that he's not going to run. I don't think that the family is on board with this. I don't think Sue Ann has any desire at all to be on another statewide race. I don't think his kids have any desire. So I don't think he's going to have the family support. I think in this new era, this new MAGA Republican Party, I think he'd have a tough time making a go of it. But we'll get more thoughts on the other side. What do you think? Is Tommy going to run for a fifth term? 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Come on back. It's a Tuesday edition of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talking about the one, the only Tommy George Thompson, 4-time elected governor of the state of Wisconsin. Where did you find that song, Zombers? And why did he ever use that for one of his campaigns?
I don't know why he didn't, but it's Tommy, Can You Hear Me? By The Who from their album, Tommy, which is most known for Pinball Wizard.
But yes. That's fantastic. Well done.
It's all about the kid, the Pinball Wizard, whose name is Tommy.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along. 23 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Started out the show here by, was on Matt Nair this morning with Jane and Greg, Jane Matinier and Greg Bach. And they started out with this news and posed the question to me, and I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes following up on it. Tommy George Thompson, governor of the state of Wisconsin, four times elected, was in his element yesterday in Milwaukee at the Wisconsin State Fair. And he went on TMJ Radio in Milwaukee, and they asked him about the governor's race. And Tommy said, quote, "I haven't said no," unquote. He went on to say, quote, "There are a lot of good candidates, and I don't have a desire to get in the race. But the truth of the matter is, I'll wait and see who's out there. I'm in great physical health. My mind is sharp as hell. I've got things I would like to accomplish, and it's way too early for me to make that decision."
Sounds about right.
I don't do as good a Tommy Thompson as Trygve Olsen.
Trygve's impression is very good.
Yeah. Here's what, here, again, to cut to the chase. I don't believe that Tommy Thompson is going to run for another term as governor. He's 83 years old. And I said on Jane and Greg's show this morning, my heart, my mind will always go back to the Tommy Thompson that was governor in the 80s and 90s. Somebody who worked in a bipartisan manner to get things done. Didn't always agree with him on every single thing. But by things like the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, I talked yesterday about my friends Kurt and Florcy and I, we went in the Lower Wisconsin Riverway for a four-hour kayak paddle over the weekend. That was a bipartisan project. Democrats, Republicans came together. Tommy Thompson signed it into law. A lot of other great things Tommy did. A huge proponent of the UW system in this state. And when he went to Washington to work in the Bush administration, had the opportunity to visit him in his office out in D.C., and he was working on measures to protect food sources and shipping to keep them safe that nobody else was doing. Don Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, was sending his guys over to Tommy's office at DHSS to say, hey, how we need to be doing this as a national defense thing. Then Tommy came back. He was the interim president of UW System during COVID and got bipartisan rave reviews as being the premier president of a UW system in how to, or a college system on how to deal with COVID. He was protesting. He set up all kinds of free testing clinics at universities around the state. He was pro-vaccine. He set up all kinds of vaccination centers as well as the testing around the state based on his time at DHSS. And I think he deserves kudos for all of those things. And above all, no politician has been a greater advocate for Wisconsin cheerleader than Tommy Thompson. But, and I've talked about this on this program before, it deeply saddens me that, in my opinion, perhaps the greatest political Achilles heel that Tommy has is his lust and desire to be relevant. And I think that, look, I'm not going to name names, but I pretty much know for a fact that Tommy Thompson does not like Scott Walker. Tommy Thompson does not like Donald Trump. But he's played the game to stay relevant in a MAGA Republican world. And that saddens me a great deal because I think he had the opportunity to be an even bigger leader had he stayed true to himself. So I also think it's just funny because I think Tommy's probably getting a kick out of messing around with Berrien and Showman and Tiffany, because Tommy's sucking up all the news today on the governor's race, and he probably has no intention of actually running, and he's probably getting a huge kick out of it. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to Eau Claire, WCFW, the Tap. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, what do you got for us?
Well, hi. Well, I sure hope he ain't planning on running either, and I remember he did a lot of great things. However, people change. I have always been an independent, and I used to see some good things going on in our Senate, you know, in the U.S. Senate, and even in the state of Wisconsin years ago before the Walker regime.
Right.
And you know, the people that I thought would come to fight for, you know, a republic, democracy, or however you want to describe it, would be these great leaders in different times, you know, and did great jobs, and they've all let us down. Every goddamn one of them has kowtowed to whomever big money is trying to change the United States of America. And I just was very, very concerned. And I could see them, oh, Tommy, you'd be so great. No,
right. we stroke his ego. He loves having his ego stroked.
Yes, and then all of us will suffer. So right. I sure hope to heck he's not for us anymore right. like
Thanks.
He was.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it. Kurt in Madison says, for the love of God, get in your boat and go fishing, Tommy. Do anything but run for governor. Why tarnish your run? That's from Kurt in Madison. 855-752-4842. Whistler, you got 20 seconds, Whistler. What do you got?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd, I think that Tommy should join the Lincoln Project.
Right?
Totally honest.
I appreciate that, Whistler. I wish you would, but he's been on the Trump train as of late. We shall see. Sean, watching on YouTube, says Dale Schultz would make a terrific governor. I agree. I also will tell you, he ain't going to run. Come on back after this. We'll talk about the Trump tariffs and what it means to Wisconsinites on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back across the state of Wisconsin from Lake Michigan to Lake Superior, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Aaron Zomerin spinning the tunes on the board. Off the playlist of our guests this half hour. Please have them join us via StreamYard on the Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and over the air here as well. He is Kyle LaFon, founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Province and a member of Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin. Kyle, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Todd, great to be here. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's our pleasure, and it means a lot to me personally because one of the things we try to do this show is take these issues that are international or national, and nothing wrong with national news and coverage, but I think for a lot of Wisconsinites out there, what I hear when I go on the road and listen to folks is they say, Todd, I just can't do it because it's overwhelming and depressing, and I can say, I get it. So one of the things we like to do is put this in a Wisconsin context, and you being a small business owner here in Wisconsin, I want to talk a little bit about these Trump tariffs. New round of them, allegedly. We'll see if it happens this time, going back into effect here in a few days. So I appreciate a real discussion about that. But as we do with everybody who's new here on the show, Mr. LaFon, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the manufacturing world.
Yeah, thanks. It's a long and very twisted story, actually.
That's great.
I actually began my career with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, where I worked as a wildlife biologist. In that role, I spent a lot of time in schools talking to kids about principles of wildlife management, biology, chemistry, you name it. I really enjoyed that aspect of the job, so went back and got another degree. And then I taught middle school and high school science for a number of years.
Wow.
When I was teaching, I developed this project where I taught my students, primarily in the middle school environment, how to make their own personal care and wellness products using primarily household ingredients. You know, I was sick of all my my younger students basically dousing themselves with Axe body spray and other products that were loaded with all kinds of chemicals and preservatives. Mm-hmm. So after developing this project in class, I basically stole all of my students' best ideas and launched my first company.
That's great.
Yeah, the company is called American Provenance. It's mm-hmm. still around. It's a deodorant brand you're going to find primarily on Amazon at this point. Mm-hmm. And then during the pandemic, we launched a second division called Natural Contract Manufacturing. So now, not only do we make products for our own brand, but we make products for about 60 other brands and a number of celebrities and athletes and influencers that are all looking to capitalize on, again, their name and popularity.
I think this is great. And we just did a show last week out in Southwest Wisconsin at Six Springs Farm, Joe Thomas's venture in Hall of Fame beef. And he was talking about this is basically what led him going from football into farming. As he said, you know, as I aged in football and got closer to the end of my career in the NFL, my body physically and mentally was taking its toll. And a lot of this was from the crap that I was, you know, I consider myself a healthy guy. I'm paraphrasing, he said. But he said, I wanted to provide healthy food, meat for my family and friends. And that's how it started. It sounds much the same way your impetus was watching what your students were putting on their bodies, chemicals, and saying, hey, how can we do this better, more naturally?
That's exactly it. And as an aside there, Joe's actually a good buddy. I've been out there
really?
To his farm a few times. Yep. I've been out there looking for morels and ramps in the spring. Mm-hmm. And even screwing around on other occasions. So yeah, Joe is a wonderful example. What a great ambassador for the state of Wisconsin.
You know, you nailed it on the head. And what I said, I'm writing a piece right now on it, a column about Dunn. And yeah, part of the takeaway, you know, the story, you know, he said, I'm not going to the draft, even though I'm number three, because I'm going to fish with my dad. But what really struck me, having the privilege and honor to hang out with him for 2 hours on the air and off, was how truly invested he is in farming in Southwest Wisconsin. This isn't some, oh, I'll live in a city far away and come out here once a month and take photos. No. He's on the gator. He's on the tractor. He's sawing down trees. He's feeding cattle. Whatever he has to do, and he's really invested in the economic growth of Southwest Wisconsin.
That's just it. I mean, people don't give Joe enough credit. I think the one word I really like to use when describing Joe is sophisticated. You know, and you wouldn't think that word in regards to a professional football player, but Joe is a very sophisticated guy, kind of a real Renaissance man. You know, he's one of those guys where my grandfather always told me you should never trust anybody that doesn't have calluses on their hands. And Joe understands that. He goes out and he gets the work done. So more power to
him. You don't have to disclose this if you don't want to. I'm just curious. How do you know him? Through football or what?
Through Chris Borland, actually. Chris and I have been friends for many, many years.
Really?
Our circles of friends have just kind of intertwined and gotten a chance to meet a few other folks through Chris and expand my network there. And Joe is just a wonderful guy. And again, I can't believe we're fortunate enough to have him as an ambassador here for the state, and especially Southwest Wisconsin.
Small world indeed. We're talking to Kyle LaFond, the founder, president, and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing and American Province. So back to your story, I think that as a small business person who did this for all the right reasons, got into this for the betterment of health and people, now you're looking, when you sell your, I'm going to ask you two things. A, where are you selling your product most to? And B, where are you getting the, I'll use the word ingredients or materials to produce and ship your product? And then how are these Trump tariffs going to affect your business?
Yeah, great question. So there was a time prior to the pandemic where you could find our own branded products, American Provenance products, on about 10,000 shelves nationwide. That included 1,400 Walmarts, a whole bunch of Whole Foods regions, and pretty much every significant regional grocer you could imagine. During the pandemic, of course, brick and mortar really just fell apart. You know, if people were going to the grocery store, they were going to buy foods. They weren't going to buy personal care and wellness products. So at that point, we pulled out of brick and mortar. Now the brand itself is online only. So just on Amazon and a handful of other sites. Most of our clients are online only as well. A lot of these folks don't have the resources to take their product and put it on a shelf somewhere. Putting a product on a store shelf is very, very expensive, very, very time consuming. So a lot of folks can just turn to Amazon or Fair or other online outlets to sell their goods. In terms of our inputs and how the tariffs are affecting us, because we're making products for all kinds of other brands and athletes, celebrities, and whatever else, and especially since we're in the personal care and wellness space, we get a lot of our ingredients, a lot of our inputs from overseas. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Thailand, we're talking about China, we're talking about Indonesia, some of our stuff from South America as well. You know, if you're talking about personal care and wellness products, a lot of it tends to be a coconut oil and shea butter. Last time I looked, there's not a lot of palm trees here in Wisconsin.
No.
So for us, what we're seeing, even a lot of our scents, our essential oils, of course, those are all distilled down from plants that are primarily in temperate zones around the equator, right? Mm. So what we found with a lot of our ingredients, there were significant price increases overnight when tariffs first started talked about. And some of our ingredients, I can tell you that pretty much overnight, they just about doubled, which is just crazy when you think about it. When we talk about tariffs, a lot of folks tend to think about, you know, finished products. There's a lot more beyond that. A lot of manufacturers here stateside, we get our inputs, we get our raw materials, our ingredients from foreign nations, and we have to pay those tariffs to get those products here to make the products you enjoy at home. We can't absorb all those costs. So of course, we're going to have to pass them on to the consumer. And so I think it's foolish for anybody to think that tariffs aren't going to affect the prices of American manufactured goods because, yeah, a lot of stuff that goes into American manufactured goods is acquired overseas.
Talking to Kyle LaFond here, founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Province, based in beautiful Middleton, Wisconsin, just outside the Madison City limits where we are at. Kyle, how many roughly, so to speak, how many people do you employ in your businesses?
We're a small and lean operation. Right now, there's only four of us full-time permanent employees. When we do have upticks, we do rely on some outside staffing to help us out. And during the summertime, I do have the privilege of having some of my friends and their kids help out when we're a little behind schedule, which is great. The summer is usually a very busy time for us. So having kids that are not enrolled in school and have some time on their hands to come help us out has been wonderful.
I think this is great because as I travel, I grew up originally in Center, Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 people. I have the privilege of being able to travel around for this show. We talk and listen to a lot of folks. I think that you're representative of so many small business people in this state. You think about the bakeries, the coffee shops, the cafes, the woodworkers, the photographers, the people that take our photographs for kids' senior pictures. They're not employing hundreds of people. It's a couple of families, but all of them added up together have a huge impact because my guess is, Kyle, you're also spending locally in your community. And so it's a ripple effect and not enough people understand that that's the backbone, agree or disagree, of Wisconsin small business.
That's just it. I mean, think about over 90% of Wisconsin businesses are small businesses, and those are 50 employees or less. Mm-hmm. So you think about, you know, you walk down Main Street, and like you said, you look at a cafe or a bakery or a butcher shop, that's three or four people. And those are folks that are making a living, putting back in the community. You know, we want to continue to spend our dollars here as close to home as possible. We're not huge proponents of purchasing stuff on Amazon, even though our clients utilize that as a selling format. Don't get me started about monopolies and right. All kinds of stuff like that. That's another conversation for another day, but happy to have that one. There is, I think, a growing sentiment, especially among young people. They get it. They want their dollars to stay local. They don't want to ship it overseas. So I think we're going to see a sea change here over the course of the next, who knows, 10, 12 years, when people really wake up and realize that, you know, this consumer spending that we've gone crazy with since the pandemic needs to change and come back to Main Street.
About a couple minutes left here before we have to step away. Then we'll finish up on the other side. But again, to get back to the impacts that these tariffs are going to have, agree or disagree, it's not just the tariffs themselves. It's this complete uncertainty for a small business owner like yourself. How do you plan for that?
That's a great question as well. So we're always onboarding new clients. And so every year we anticipate we've got 20 to 25% of our clients turning over. Either they go out of business or they get too big and go on to a larger contract manufacturer that has more advanced capabilities than what we have. Yeah. What we're finding is that with all this talk of tariffs and all this uncertainty, all these folks that were talking about launching brands or products earlier this year, guess what? They've kind of completely fallen off. They either postponed or delayed or decided not to pursue business whatsoever. You know, anytime we have this amount and this kind of uncertainty, it's not good for any business. Yeah. You know, if you're thinking about launching something and you don't have solid answers on funding or you don't have solid answers on what interest rates or consumer demand or the threat of recession are going to be or tariffs, those are all things that potential business owners need to keep in mind. And adding those up, a lot of folks have decided to shy away from launching brands or expanding product portfolios.
And I think that's the untold story here in the national headlines is that, you know, I had a couple of different small coffee shops over the course of my life. I was in business with a couple of business partners. And it's like you just want to know one way or the other so you can plan. It's the uncertainty, I think, that kills you as a small business person because you don't know how much to have in reserve. You don't know what to forecast for next year. It just locks you up.
That's exactly it. And now a business owner for the past 10 years, I can't believe it's been 10 years. but having a business for that long and going through my own trials and tribulations, yeah, you want those certainties.
Right.
That makes everything so much easier in terms of planning and execution. Anytime you have things that are unknown, that's why I always tell folks, the only thing I'm really scared of is not knowing what I don't know. Right. That may sound crazy. No,
I get
but,
it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. I think a lot of folks are in that situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree 100%. We got to step away to a little business, as they say. We're going to come back, talk more with Kyle LaFond on the other side, not just about small business and tariffs in Wisconsin, but also about PBS and the implications of the cuts to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, followed by a check of weather. Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, with a report from Packers training camp, and also the Brewers continue their winning streak back underway in Atlanta tonight. Brewers now 3 games ahead of the dreaded Chicago Cubs. That's fantastic news. Michael, updates on that. And then hour two, what's worse, coming up in hour two, grocery store items. What's worse, store-bought grocery tomatoes or non-dairy milk? We'll discuss those hot topics in hour number two. But right now, something more serious. Kyle LaFond joins us via StreamYard from here in Dane County, the founder and president and CEO of Natural Contract Manufacturing in American Province. Now, Kyle, before we get into PBS, many of your products here, natural products, skincare, healthcare products. Now, what should a guy like me, who tends to be sweaty, unfortunately, a Right Guard is my go-to. It seems to work the best. What sort of natural deodorants should I actually be using that are more healthy and not so chemically prone?
Well, I'll share with you the same information I've been sharing folks for many, many years. Mm-hmm. You should never, ever, ever wear an antiperspirant. You should always wear a deodorant. Yes, there's a big difference there. And so with antiperspirants, they often contain some type of chemical, usually aluminum or metal, to basically clog your pores to prevent you from sweating. But what happens when you sweat, you're also expelling all kinds of toxins from your body, right? So if you're clogging your pores, those toxins and chemicals tend to accumulate in these very sensitive areas around your lymph nodes. So you want to sweat. Sweating is healthy. It's your body's way of cooling itself down, but also expelling all these minerals and toxins and everything else. And so if you're clogging your pores, those are staying in your system. And you don't want to do that. So deodorants are great. Deodorants are just meant to basically mask whatever your body odor may be. Mm-hmm. Where antiperspirants, again, block your pores. And so never, ever, ever wear an antiperspirant. Always wear a deodorant.
There you go. I've learned something new already today. That's fantastic. So, and this is great. These products, these natural products like yours, are being manufactured right here in the state of Wisconsin. I appreciate the discussion prior to on the Trump tariffs. I wanted to get into something else that came out of the White House last week that I know you're the president, I believe, the Friends Board of PBS here in Wisconsin. Did I get that right?
That's correct. That's the 501c3 that is responsible for fundraising for PBS Wisconsin.
So it was announced last week that by the Trump administration, well, I guess by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that they were going to shut down essentially by the end of September because of not just the cuts in the Trump reconciliation bill, but also the fact that Congress, Republican-led Congress, as directed by Trump, clawed back over $1 billion in previously allocated and approved funds for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Tell us just, if you will, a little bit, Kyle, what impact in reality is this going to have for places like Wisconsin Public Television and Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, it's going to be significant. I mean, there's no way to hide that whatsoever. We were hoping for a much different outcome. We had some, what I thought was very good news heading into discussions around the rescission package. Unfortunately, those did not come to fruition. So what that's going to mean with this cut in funding is right now, Wisconsin Public Media, we get about 10% of our annual budget from the federal government. So we're going to have to make that up somehow. One thing that we've seen not only here in Wisconsin, but nationwide, are a lot of these stations putting together some very aggressive campaigns, and basically to bring on more dollars from their friends, their sponsors, and just fans. So now more than ever, we're going to have to rely on all of our supporters that have been behind PBS for years and years to really kind of help us out even more than they ever have before. So we are doing some restructuring. We're looking at some programs, but a lot of this is going to come down to alternative ways to raise funds through fundraising efforts and maybe some unique and novel ideas that have been on the back burner for a while, but may be coming to fruition here in the next couple of years.
Unfortunately, about 3 minutes left. We'd love to have you back on another time if you're willing. But in the time we have left here, it's not just PBS, and those are very, very important in my opinion, but it's also local radio across the state of Wisconsin that receives some of those Corporation of Public Broadcasting funds. It could be native radios on out of reservations and in parts of Wisconsin that don't get a lot of media over the air because of topography, geography. But it's also just community radio, folks that rely on that local news. This is going to impact them. Am I correct?
That's just it. So the Corporation of Public Broadcasting realistically is more or less a clearinghouse. So they're the ones that receive the funds from the federal government, and then they go ahead and dictate how much funding goes to each particular television station, radio station, what have you. So there are some stations out there in primarily rural areas, you mentioned tribes, that may get 40, 50, maybe even 60% of their funding from the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. So with that funding being cut, guess what? That means a loss of on-air talent. That means a loss of programs. That means a lot of repetitive nature. That means a loss of a lot of services that folks come to rely on. People don't realize it, but public media touches every corner of the state of Wisconsin. You know, we're here to not only educate and inform, but also protect the first warn system, the safety system that alerts for potential or severe weather. That's all broadcast first by public radio and public television. So these are going to have some dramatic consequences in terms of health, safety, communication, education, and just community.
Kyle, 1 minute left. What have I not asked you that you want to make sure people know either about the tariffs or about PBS?
That's a good question as well. I think one of the things that has been on my mind lately is, what does the end of the year look like? You know, as a business owner, I'm always trying to forecast and look ahead. And there are some signs out there that are a little concerning to me. You know, way back when I had an old mentor tell me that if you really want to know what's going on, talk to the truck drivers. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to the folks that have the fancy degrees from the Ivy League schools. Talk to a truck driver.
Yep.
So, I've always taken that to heart, and I've always done it. One of the things that was shocking to me just last week, I had a gentleman show up to basically drop off a load at our warehouse. Gentleman I had never seen before, and I'm familiar with all of our truck drivers. I asked him what was going on. He said, well, we had to furlough a bunch of drivers. I've actually been behind the desk for the past 8 years. This is my first time behind the wheel since. So if these trucking operations and logistic companies are going through furloughs now, that's a bad sign. You know, I also used to hear that anytime you saw four or more semis per 10 cars on the interstate, you knew things were going well. Three or less, not so hot. So keep an eye on that for the rest of the year here.
Kyle, you nailed it. One of the best educations of my life was going from Chicago to Oklahoma City to San Antonio with Brooke Dobbs on a long-haul truck experience. They are 100% right. You nailed it. Kyle LaFon, thanks for being a part of what makes Wisconsin great. We'd love to talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.